Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in church this morning. It's good, isn't it? I reckon this is the best place to be. Last week, Belinda and I had the privilege of being in New Zealand with some of my Bible student friends. We had a bit of a reunion over there, and it was just an absolute privilege to be just with them again. You know, like it's like seeing old friends again. It's exciting to come and gather again, and that's what it feels like a bit today too, like we've come together again. What is it? Are we all sitting a bit closer today? Excuse me, are you guys feeling okay? Awesome. That's good. Must be cold. Yeah. Well, it's been resting on me. BB, can you just stand, please, bro? Again. Who loves BB? Yeah. Great. Victor's his name, if you don't know him. I saw you when you came in this morning. You're wearing your, probably the only guy that's wearing shorts today, and a pair of coloured match shoes. And I felt God just say, these words, you are a forerunner. And as I pondered on that, I thought of John the Baptist. He was a forerunner for Jesus, and he was preparing the way for the king. And I then instantly got a picture of what they would do would be to fill in the valleys, cut through the hills, cut through the mountains. And that's what you do. You fill in the gaps. Last week you filled in the gap, but you fill in the valleys. You have this ability in the spirit to fill in the valleys and knock down the mountains, like what Keith was talking about this morning. And I just wanted to, God just wants to let you know, he's so proud of you. There's times where you feel like you're out on your own and you go, man, I seem to be filling in holes. I seem to be chopping through mountains, and I feel like sometimes I'm on my own. Well, you're not. God sees every bit of it. You're a preparer of the way, a preparer of the king. And God wants to really encourage you today. And keep being you. Keep wearing crazy shorts and shoes. It's good. God's good. Isn't it great when you get an encouragement from God to be encouraged in your faith and be encouraged in who you are in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for today. I thank you, God, for your word, that it is sharp and that it has the ability to cut and it has the ability to see through. It has the ability to penetrate even to divided thoughts and intentions of our heart. And so, God, I thank you today as I have the privilege of bringing the word this morning, that God, we would be encouraged today in your word, and that it would do something inside of us. Lord, we are people of faith, people of power, and Lord, I thank you, God, as we come around your word this morning, that it would do something inside of us, that we would be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Who was that? We played bowls yesterday with the men, and I had to leave halfway through winning, so that was tough. I was. Hey? I don't know. He played longer than me, so. I want to talk this morning about finding God's rest. I really felt it strongly on my heart. I asked God, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, I want you to talk about rest. you know, I can't find rest for you. Your mentor or the person you look up to can't find rest for you. Your mum can't find rest for you. Your dad can't find rest for you. You have to find rest yourself. And I really want to encourage us this morning in these pictures that I bring out this morning of various characters through the Bible, how God was teaching them rest. And that the foundation of rest is paramount for us to live this Christian life. So this morning I was thinking of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the guy that was challenging Jesus in John chapter 3 and 3 verses 5. And Jesus was, he was challenging things and Jesus was answering his questions and saying, he was what's this born again thing, you know? And Jesus was saying, you need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And a little bit further down in two verses later, he's still asking the same question and Jesus just says it another way. And he says, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you won't enter the kingdom of God. So there's a seeing and there's an entering. And so I'm hoping this morning that you don't just see it, because often we will see things but not enter it. Do you know what I mean? We're all guilty of it. We see it and we say, yeah, that's really good for them. But we all must enter into rest. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to just tell you a story of my own life. As a young builder, probably 20 years ago. Or back, well, 17 years ago, it was back in 2000. I took on this contract in Sydney, and it was one of my first contracts I took on, and it was a huge house in Turramurra. And it was a massive roof conversion thing, and I signed the contract. It was architectural, and it was just one of those jobs. I knew how to build it, just give me the materials, give me the men, but I under-budgeted it. I got halfway through and I'd run out of money. And I was not at rest. There was this moment, if you can picture, the people that I was working for were Christians, so that sort of helped a little bit. They knew I'd under-budgeted. They knew that I was struggling. And there was this picture of me, just this one day, in a heap in the backyard, crying my eyes out. It's still real. And Sue, her name was, she came over. And she said, are you okay? And I said, not really. And then she said, I've got this book for you. It wasn't the Bible. And it was this little Oswald Chambers, if anybody's heard of Oswald Chambers' book. Just a little everyday thing. And she said, oh, I'd like to give this to you. It might help in your time, you know. I said, oh, thanks so much. And I put that book down. I didn't read it. I've only just picked it up 17 years later. Isn't that ridiculous? And yes, thank you. Thanks for your encouragement, brother. And I picked it up just recently for this. And here's a little snippet on rest. Oswald Chambers on rest. And I will give you rest. Rest means the perfection of motion. Often we think rest is just stop, no motion, no nothing, but it's actually the perfection of motion. I will give you rest, That is, I will stay you. Not I will put you to bed and hold your hand and sing you to sleep. But I will get you out of bed, out of the languor and exhaustion, out of being half dead while you are alive, and I will so imbue you with the spirit of life that you will be stayed by the perfection of vital activity. It is not a picture of an invalid in a bath chair, but of life at such a pitch of health that everything is at rest. There is no exhaustion without recuperation. Interesting words. I've been thinking about this a lot because it's one of those things I've struggled a lot with, is rest. I'm usually a kind of person that's out there, and it appears that I'm not at rest, and it's probably true. I'm not happy. I haven't been happy within myself. I haven't been contented. But God's been teaching me rest. He's been teaching me to be content, to have his rest. And I figure if he's talking to me, he's talking to you. So we're gonna just talk about this a little bit this morning. If you've got your Bible there this morning, Hebrews chapter 4 is probably one of the most condensed parts of the Bible that says a lot about rest. Got any spares? Yeah? Come on, James. Come on, bro.
God's teaching us.
Now you just got to, there it is. Look at that. Awesome. Thank James. He's such a great little guy. There's a real faithfulness on that guy's life, and it's been imparted to him from his family, his dad and his mum, and that's such a good thing. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 through 11 is this chunk of talking about rest. Therefore, since the promise of entering, here's the word entering, his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Who knows, it's a prerequisite for the Christian life that we enter this rest. It's not an option. You've got to enter it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. Now it continues on, and if we can just come down to verse 9 again, it repeats it. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So we can see that rest is activated by faith. We enter rest through faith. If we don't use faith, we're still just looking at it. We're seeing it, but not entering it. In order to enter, you need to combine it with faith. We see the book of Hebrews is this amazing book about a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And we can see that the people of Israel didn't apply faith in Christ, so they never entered the rest. In summary, I'll just say it straight up. The Sabbath is Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. He is your rest. He's no longer a shadow. He's actually a reality. If a shadow is cast, you know, if you're walking down the streets of Sydney and there's a shadow being cast around the corner of a high-rise building and it's a picture of a person or whatever, the shadow gets cast onto the ground and you're walking up to the shadow. I don't go and hug the shadow on the ground. You would look foolish. Many people are still hugging the shadow on the ground, where if you just turn the corner and run into Jesus, he's the reality. He's the reality that we need to run into and hug him, not the shadow. The shadows were all types and shadows of things yet to come, and it's through Jesus Christ. We see that. So those who believed the word entered into what was called a Sabbath rest. Those who disbelieved the word didn't enter the rest. The sign's still open. The sign's open on the door. If you just come in to Christ, you can enter into this rest that I'm talking about this morning. But we have to find it. I think some of the pictures I've been thinking of is like a sound wave has highs and it has lows. It has highs and lows. It's still a sound wave in the high and it's a sound wave in the low. It's just the rhythm of the sound wave going through. And we need to find that rest. Finding it. Finding his rhythm. Often we will just say, I know I will say, let's just do it. Let's just do this darn thing. Let's just bite this thing off and let's go. But you're jumping in probably outside the rhythm of God and his plan. It's perfectly fine to sit back and wait like a good surfer would to jump on the wave at just the perfect time to catch that wave. And that's really the picture that I'm trying to get to, is that we need to see the wave but then know when to enter that rest. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So in Christ, you have the fullness of God. This is a Colossians 2:10. You have the mind of Christ. You have a new identity. You are a new creation. You have a new heart of flesh. The stone one's been removed. And the new law of love has been written on it. That's the reality that we have, that we live in now by faith. You have the gift of righteousness and your rags have been taken away. That's the good news story. Tom, I loved your communion this morning. It was just the gospel. And it's so fantastic just hearing the gospel again. I don't know what it does inside of you, but inside of me, I hear it and something resonates on the inside of me and it goes, yes, yes, yes. This is so real to me. If it's not a resounding yes on the inside, you're probably still looking at it. You haven't entered it. You've got to enter that resignation. So let's have a look at how God was getting his message of rest across throughout the Bible. I'm just going to pick out some people. I'm going to talk about Adam for a minute. If we go right back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, maybe my Bible's the only one rustling pages. No? Oh, good. Good, Jenny. Genesis 1 and verse 28 says this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Who knows? That's a huge to-do list. What a massive list. One guy doing all of that. I don't know how many plants and animals and things that are out there, they're still finding them. There's literally thousands and thousands and thousands of them. I've just recently taken on a business, and I had to learn all the different kinds of white ants and all their names. And I can tell you some of them: Coptitermes acinaciformis is one breed. I'm doing all right, aren't I, Stuart? Anyway, I'm not going to go through them all right now. I didn't practice it. But I just want to let you know that that was a huge task for Adam. Now, Adam was created on the sixth day, and he didn't start working on the sixth day. God rested, as we know, on the seventh day, and God was saying, Adam, I'd like you to come and rest with me for a day. How cool is that? I don't know whether you've ever thought about that, but God's inviting you into his rest first. If you can't find his rest first, everything else is just immaterial. Everything else that we do is just like a white noise. We must find his rest. So the first revelation that God gives Adam is rest. I want you to come. Imagine that. Adam hanging out with God. Wonder what they did. You can picture whatever you would do, what you think rest is for you. Rest could be water skiing. I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. Sitting in a chair reading a book. That's boring for me. That's not rest for me. Playing golf is rest for me. You know, things like that. What is rest for you? You need to find that rest. I think God teaches it in the natural, but he's also wanting us to get this in the spiritual. Hebrews 4:10, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. The word rest here, when God rested, it's not that he stopped like what Oswald Chambers just did. It was the perfection of motion. It was God just saying, like a picture of you painting this painting on the wall, that you look back at it and go, God said, yeah, that's not too bad. It's got a few faults here and there. Just who? Oh, Diane Helchin. Sorry, sorry about that. But God paints his creation, and he says, "This is good." And he stops. And he says, it's fantastic. And he says, and what he does, he rests his brush here and says, ah, that's cool. I'm happy with that. I'm so excited about how I've created my creation. I'm just going to rest. That's the kind of rest that this is talking about. And then he goes and has a fun time with Adam for a day. I think that's cool. I think that's really good. That is a great picture of rest. We work from a place of rest, not the other way around. Let's look at Noah. Noah has a revelation of rest. Genesis 8, a couple of chapters over. Chapter 8 and verse 8. And it's a picture of the ark, and we know there was a dove. Lots of animals, but there was a dove. Verse 8. Then Noah sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all of the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again, but this time it did not return to him. I think that's fascinating. The ark always speaks of a picture of salvation. Jesus Christ is our ark. So there's this picture of the ark through the storm, but then there's this equal picture of the dove is a picture of rest after the storm. So he goes through the storm with you, but then once you've gone through, there's also this beautiful picture of like the Holy Spirit resting. The Holy Spirit needs a resting place. And I know he's resting on many of our lives here. He's resting on us. He's resting on what we do. The dove rests on rest. If he sees restlessness, he's not going to land. If he sees rest, he's going to rest. I think that's a good picture. We see in Matthew 8, Jesus sleeps at the bottom of the boat. We know the story well. The storm's crashing. The disciples are freaking out. And Jesus is asleep at the bottom of the boat. It's a picture of rest. This is not mine. Bill Johnson says this. The storm you can sleep in is the storm you have authority over. The storm you can sleep in is the storm you have authority over. It's learnt. You don't just get it straight away. It's taken me 17 years to pick up an Oswald Chambers book and get a revelation. It doesn't come straight away. This is not an option. We must find this rest. So if you're going through a storm, rebuke the storm and say what Jesus said. We're going to the other side. And say to the devil, boot off. That's how we live, in a place of rest. Knowing what God said. Oh, we're going to the other side, guys. I don't know about you, but this church is going to the other side. What God has said, we are going to go do. We have great people here. We have great leaders. These two guys, Keith and Dyer, are amazingly. They've been here for 9 years now. Is that right? 9? Wow, we're going to have a party for 10? This will be a long service leave. Oh, where would you like to go? Excuse me, everyone, just for a minute. Where do you want to go? Hawaii or something like that?
Hawaii sounds good.
Okay. All right. Did you hear that, everyone? That's where they'd like to go. Be careful. They all might come. Yep. Anyway, we'll leave that. Okay, let's have a look at Moses. Moses had a revelation of rest. Exodus chapter 33. We're doing a bit of scripture this morning. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. Now, Moses is having a bit of a struggle with the people. Just a little struggle. Do you think he was having a struggle? I think he was having a struggle. Do you think he was at rest? Probably not. He was probably freaking out. You know, in times of situations, we freak out, you know. We need to find that rest. And Moses, in verse 12 says, said to the Lord, you've been telling me, God, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. And you have said, I know you by name and you have heard and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Verse 14 says, so here we see Moses asked two questions. Who's going with me? And show me, teach me your ways. I think that's such a great, they're great questions. Well done, Moses. Great questions to ask God. And God comes straight back and he says in verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Something about the presence of God, something about worship, something about being in his presence creates rest for us. God was teaching Moses this picture of rest. I think it's interesting, we all know the Ten Commandments, not off by heart, you might know them off by heart, but in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we see the Israelites were in strict obedience, an observation to these. It was a big deal for the Israelites. So the Sabbath was a big deal. But the Israelites had made it so holy they'd become legalistic about it, to the point where on the Sabbath you were only allowed to take so many steps at any given time. 4,854 steps to walk. Then you had to stop for 2 hours, otherwise there'd be a violation. I'm the kind of person that would get to 4,853 steps, take one more and go, I wonder what happens if I take one more step? Or I'd just get to that number and I'd watch somebody come on by and I'd jump on their back and say, can you take me down to the shops, please, bro? God was teaching them rest. It was a big deal. Now, within the Ten Commandments, the commandments 1 to 3 were all about how we relate to God. No idols, no other gods, no Lord's name in vain. Then we have 4, which is a Sabbath. We'll leave that for a second. And so 5 through 10 is how to treat others correctly. So honour your parents, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. The Sabbath was like the bridge in between. It actually came back to you, how you treat yourself. So there was this, how do we treat God? How do we treat others? But the bridge in between is how you treat yourself. God says that we are to love ourselves. And often that's probably the hardest thing to do, is to love ourselves. The minute we get the revelation of loving ourselves, it allows God to move through your life because he loves you and his love's got to flow through you in order to get to others. We can have all of these great things happening. You know, my show for God is I love God. I love people, but I don't love myself. That's another revelation within itself. What's it say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbour as yourself. So there's the 3 right in there. Love God, love your neighbour, love yourself. We look at Jesus now, and Jesus has some great things to say about this. In Mark 6, verse 30, Jesus' disciples begin this huge, big day of praying for the sick and they recover and all of these fantastic things that happen on that day. And Jesus comes and says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Often we can be so caught up in what we're doing for God that we actually miss the rest. We say, well, we'll just do one more meeting. And you get to that meeting and go, well, we'll just do another meeting. But you're not looking after yourself. I'm all for meetings and I'm all for God moving, but you've also got the balance of the rest of God. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's only God that can give you rest and peace in your heart. "Take my yoke," God says, "upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Everything we know about God must rest on this foundation of rest. It's rest on rest. It's got to rest on it. It's got to sit on it. It's got to be part of your life. It's about finding that rhythm. I look at John, he's another one. In 1 John 3:19 it says, "This then is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." There is a rest to be found in his presence. Not striving. Striving's different. But a work at. It sounds weird, but it's our only English word that we can put on it to help us understand. We've actually got to work at this in our mind, work at it, even in this right now, God working on you to enter into that rest. I'm going to end with this story of Gideon. Now, this is a fascinating little story of, who knows the story of Gideon? Just wave your hand. In Judges 7 and verse 9 through 13, there's this story of a very scared man who was told to do something that he did not feel able to do. Anybody felt like that? And so Gideon was greatly encouraged by God. He was scared. He was told to go fight the Midianites, tomorrow. So here's this picture of this scared, what did they call him? Mighty man of valor. God calls him a mighty man of valor before he was. It's calling things that aren't as though they are. And that's what God's calling us all to do. If we find the rest, and God was teaching Gideon here how to find rest. And we all know Psalm 23:5. "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of your enemies, his presence is. Work that out. There's something to be found in the midst of what you're going through. And so here's this story. And God says, "Go down in the middle of the camp." Yeah, right. "And I'm going to give you a prophetic word." So he goes down into the middle of the camp, gets a prophetic. He's creeping over all the tent poles. Imagine that. Nervous guy creeping through all the tent poles, all these guys snoring. And finds these two guys having a chat. One of them was woken up with a dream that a barley bread rolled down into the camp and destroyed the camp. And it's just like God, right in the middle of it all, to cause fear to come on the meteorites, whatever they're called, and cause them to go into fear instead of Gideon. Gideon was greatly encouraged. He said, God said, "You're going to win the battle." And that's what God does. Right in the midst of what you're going through, God speaks to you, he encourages you, and you find that rest, and you're able to depart that and go, yes, God, thank you. I think that's a fantastic picture, and we know the rest of the story. It comes to pass. And Gideon becomes a mighty man of valor. Did he feel like it? No. So who said it was about feelings? It's definitely not about feelings. There's a feast of revelation in this. There's something about having a meal in the midst of it all. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just need to stop and have a meal. Have a piece of cheesecake. That's what I say. Whenever I'm not feeling that great, I'll just get a couple of steaks, whack them on the barbie. I'll go round to my mate's place and she'll make me a cheesecake. And I feel so much better. There is something about having a meal right in the midst of it all. It's saying back to the enemy, I don't give a rip about you. I don't care about you. I've got the rest of God on my life. And I'm going to flow in that. I've found it. Now, once you find it, you've got to stay in it. That's the work. That's the little bit of work. But once you've found it, some of us have never found it. And I'm praying today that I'm finished. I'm praying today that we get a revelation of God's rest. If you've never found it, I pray that you'll find it. If you have found it and you're out of it, I hope you can find it again. And if you're in it, help somebody else get in it. I hope you've been encouraged by that, because numerous times I've been out of his rest. I've found his rest, but it's a matter of staying in his rest. It's powerful. So God's first revelation to all of these people and to us today is find his rest. Out of that, we can do so many more things for God, because we're in a place of confidence in God. It's a confidence in God that we can say, well, I know my God is with me. I'm not thinking too much about all of this chaos that's going on around me. I'm standing on his word, and I'm going to move forward with the army of God. That's my encouragement to you today. I've had to find it. I'm still working on it. I feel his rhythm here today. I feel his heartbeat here today. Just if his rhythm was like this, where do you jump on? If this is the rhythm, this is God. Are you there? Are you in that? That's the picture. Are you in that? That's the question. Or are you sitting back looking at it? Have you entered that? That's the picture. His rest for the rest of your life. It's powerful. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. It's simple, yet it's truth. And truth has this ability to set us free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I don't want to be outside of your will, God. I don't want to be outside of the rhythm that you've created. There's a rhythm on this church. And as we come together and we lay things down and we find the rhythm of this church, and I'm talking about not the building, I'm talking about us as a people, as we come together, as we find God's rhythm together, I think that's the most explosive, exciting thing that any group of people can do on the face of the earth, is find God's rhythm for this place, find God's heartbeat for this community, finding and helping others find it, find you. If you're here this morning and you don't feel like that's you, you've probably struggled with every word I've said this morning because rest hasn't been a part of your life. I'd love to pray for you this morning that God's rest and his peace could invade your life despite the circumstances. God's going to sort those things out, but be aware the very things that you need are right in the middle of it all. It's not about trying to escape it. It's about trying to embrace and go through it. You will get to the other side. God promises us that. If that's you this morning, I'd love you to come and just stand here on the altar this morning as a step of faith. I'm trusting God that this message is for someone here today. I put all my plans aside, all the things that I wanted to preach aside today for this message. So I'm trusting God that I'm hearing God, that I'm hearing you, God, today, as your people would enter rest today. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Would you come? Would you come this morning as a step of faith and enter that rest? Whatever storm you've been going through, whatever thing that you've been going through, if that's you, I want you to come. It's a step of faith. That's it. I know there's more here this morning because, like, God doesn't place these things on my heart and I'm not easily persuaded to preach something else. Let me tell you. I like to stick with what I was going to do. But God's speaking to us this morning, speaking to hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, your rest in the middle of it all. Your nutrients right in the middle of it all. He's speaking to your heart big time right now. He's touching every part of you right now. Such a powerful God that we serve. He's leading you through this. You don't have to understand it. God's saying, trust me. I'm leading you through. I'm taking you by the hand and I'm leading you through. And your confidence is going to go through the roof. People are going to look and go, how? Why? It'll be because, and you'll be able to answer them, it's because of my God. And I found rest in the middle of it all. Thank you, Jesus. Rest in the middle of it all. I speak to this mind to be the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. His mind on all things. Overactive mind. Be quiet. Sorry about that. That's what he said to say. That's what it is. God says, trust me. I'm your strength. I'm your mind, not you. Would you? And he's saying, would you mind? No. No, did you say? He's talking back to God. You don't mind. Good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you, God, for this young man about to take a big leap of faith you've taken a big leap of faith to come across the waters to, I was going to call it the mainland, sorry. But it's interesting that New Zealand wakes up first in the world. And a lot of things have been led by New Zealand. And I sense that you are a leader. We can joke about it over here, but we're 2 hours behind. And you're laughing at us right now. But God's saying, you are a leader. And I'm going to teach you things here in this place. Come closer to me. Find the rest. There's been turmoil, but God's saying, I'm showing you rest right now. Rest in me. His peace, his understanding. And I pray a blessing over this man. I see great things for you. Great things in the kingdom. It's going to do mighty things through you. It's just going to be amazing. So just a special touch of your anointing right now. Pass the mind straight to the heart. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Another filling of your blessing of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do you dance?
I used to.
You used to? As soon as I came to you, God said, dance again. You need to dance again. And within the dance, I'm restoring. I'm making whole. It's your action in it. Like I said there, sometimes within the turmoil, God speaks the most. He's going to speak the most through dance. If you close that thing down, he's finding it hard to speak. You need to get the music back out. You need to get the costume on, whatever that is. Can you imagine me dancing?
Yep.
In the spirit. Thank you, Peter. There's my encourager. And God wants to speak to you. You've closed it down. You need to get on into that. Grab the dance and go for it. That's what he's saying to you this morning. And he says, thank you for coming. I was able to speak to your heart today. Does that resonate for you? What's the first song you're going to dance to?
Indescribable.
Indescribable. Awesome. That's a great song. He is indescribable. But he's going to teach you. He's going to reveal himself more to you within the dance. That's good. Father, I thank you, God, right now for this one. Precious heart. A great expression of your love. I see you dancing in the front of the church. I see it. I see you gathering others around it and just doing it. As an expression under God. If we can paint under God, we can dance under God. If we can dance under God, we can, you know, they're all expressions. We're not all gifted with the same thing, but God is, your expression is through dance. And you're going to show people through dance his love. It's powerful. I don't know what you expected when you came up here, but I think he's got your attention in a good way. It's a gift. Need to express it. Is that cool? Great. Father, I thank you for this one. God would say you're not the last. God would say, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. God would say, I have perfected you. You are whole. You are perfect in me. God would say, I want you to trust me more in amongst the storm, in amongst what's going on. I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you things that you've never seen before because you've found my rest. So I speak rest over this soul, over this mind, over this heart, over this household. I see this household full of joy because of you. You found something. I think the scripture talks about somewhere, Keith will be able to tell me about the wife blesses the husband somewhere, or through the wife, the husband, salvation comes or something like that. And I just sense as you be you, Megan, God is going to do it. No striving, no straining, just trusting, stay in rest. I'm going to do it. Simple stuff. So God, I thank you right now for this one. You've come a long way since I've known you. An amazing journey. There's still so much more. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. And so I thank you, God, right now. Let healing come. That's it. Let him heal you deep down in your heart right now. All of those things that you've been believing for, they're coming. Trusting. Peace. Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody special is going to give you a hug right now. Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you, God, you're restoring it today. I see it restored. I see it whole. I see it in joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just stay in his presence. The rest has been here all day. His presence in the rest has been here all day. It's a good day. Who feels like they've found rest today? Did you find rest today? Now you've got to stay in it. Stay in it. All week. Amen? God bless you, church. Thanks for coming out. It's been a good day, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I love it when God takes those quiet moments and he grabs hold of our very core. God bless you. Cup of tea, cup of coffee. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.